Verse 15. Where is then this blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record. Oh, I'm sorry. I read that already. I keep doing that. Verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Hold on here. That's kind of the introduction to the next part. You know, am I? And see, honestly, when you start telling people like, oh, you know, like when I've tried to tell people who are zealous about the Sabbath that, like, you know, in Christ we have liberty. Oh, they treat you like you are trying to make them a sinner. And oddly enough, most Christians I've met all believe they're going to be sinners till the day they die, and they're going to die in their sins, and they sin every day and often. Instead of believing that God is going to change that situation. Okay. Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Meaning that they, those who are coming and bewitching these false brethren, they're coming in to Judaize to make them, and we don't really have, you know, we don't have Jews coming into our churches and saying, oi, you gotta be circumcised, you know, or anything like that. They leave us alone, right? It's usually the other way around these days. Over the past 1,000 years, there have been a lot of people who, in the name of Christ, have done a lot of really horrible things to the Jews. Horrible things. I mean, I was reading books in history of the things that were done in the name of Christ against them over the centuries, and it's such an utter shame. But, you know, it says in the gospel, and you know, I don't own what they've done. I don't. It's not about me. Though God knows, it could have been my ancestors. They came from Abruzzi, which is near Rome, which is near the Papal States, which is where a lot of person. It's one of the worst places to be if you were a Jew, was to be in the Papal States. While they still exist. If you don't know what that is, that's when the Rome, you know, when there used to be, the Pope was actually a sort of a king in his own little area there. They called the Papal States, and it was the land that the Vatican owned. And it was one of the, I mean, while other parts of the world were passing generous law, other parts of Christendom, I should say, were passing laws liberalizing the treatment of the Jews and sort of, you know, demarginalizing them and giving them their freedoms back. You know, in Rome, and I mean, the Papal States, it was just the opposite. I don't want to go. No, wait, before I. Obviously, I'm going in the. It's funny, you think about something, and then you start heading off away from the point you were trying to make, which was that these people came in to turn people back to the law. And they zealously affect you, but not good, not well, not to your benefit. No, they would exclude you. They would, it literally means to shut you out. I mean, these are the people at that time of the Jews, the portion of the Jews. It's always, you know, he says Jews in many places, but what he means is, well, that's who they are, these Jews. But that's not like, these people represent every single Jew on the face of the earth. It is this element who would, they don't even want the Gentiles in, which is what he's saying. They don't even want you. They would exclude you, that you might affect them. You know, it literally means, affect means to have warmth of feeling for. You know, they create warm feelings in you, but not for good. Meaning warming you up to the law. And they would exclude you that you might affect them, means so that they could feel good about it. You know? Because I tell you what, for some people, wicked people, it feels good to exclude people. You know? I mean, we can't accept everything and anyone as far as... I mean, I not with respect to any man's person, okay? I mean, I don't care what kind of sins they've done, okay? Because I've done enough sin and enough kinds of sin that I will never sit in judgment of anyone's past. In the sense of saying, well, that's too terrible what you've done. Could never say that. But you know, some would say, well, the Gentiles ought not to be entered in, and et cetera. Okay. And I would never say of someone like, let they say they'd been very sinful in a particular area. I would never say, oh, we must exclude you from Christ. Anyway, I mean, the presumption being they want to be part of Christ. I mean, you know, if someone just wants to hang around, but not interested in the things of God, I'm not here to include them. Why? They're not part of us. I think you understand what I mean. But it is good to be zealously affected in a good thing, always in a good thing. To have that warmth of feeling, meaning the desire, that the word zealously affect is one word in Greek, and the same thing as affect. It's zelo. Which is zeal is right in there. Except the voice in which it is presented is what is being, you know, used to. They zealously affect you. And I don't know. I know the Greeks have a lot of the way they use. They have all these tenses of verbs and so on. I only looked at the very outer rims of language studies. Right. I'm not that kind of scholar. I know. The root word is zeal. Now, they cause you to have zeal, but not in a good sense, you know, that you might cause them to feel zeal, which is this, you know, the warm feelings, you know, like Jesus, he had that, you know, you start burning inside, you know, your heart starts getting aflame. Warming up about something, you know, when you're excited about something or when you're angry about something, something starts inside, you know, getting hot, warmer, you know,